This is your Classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis. It's a Friday morning, which means it's time to catch up with John Letts, my horse racing expert. John, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Jordan. Last week we had a pretty ordinary sort of week on the tip side of it, because we had, as you know, we had torrential rain came down in Melbourne, and we had rain here, and it just put our track upside down. I changed a couple of selections, which I shouldn't have, but before we went to air, and fortunately, well, they won, but... switched onto the wrong ones, and tomorrow it looks like it could be for the Golden Slipper Day up in Sydney. It looks like it's going to be torrential rain up there for the...
Yeah, I saw a picture of the Sydney Harbour Bridge and all the water pouring off it.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah, it was just heavy rains.
Yeah, well, this just turns your form upside down, you know, with your horses, because a lot of them do handle it. Well, we did see one horse there that Jamie Carr rode, and its form was pretty ordinary. Well, in the wet weather, I think it won by about 8 lengths.
Can't predict it.
The poor old punter, he's lost again.
Yeah, but imagine the lucky person who put money on that horse.
Oh, yes. And it was going to win a long way out. It was 10 lengths in front all the way and was going further ahead at the finish. So, you know, it's hard to follow form when horses, you know, don't blame the horse. If you back them, I had a woman actually text me down from Sydney after the Cox Plate, and she said... the horse that I tipped in the Cox Plate, she said, put it on the dry track, she said, and it would have won. But it ran third last. So next time it'll come out and win, and then the punters will say, well, what happened? But you've got to forgive horses, because some of them just don't handle the ground. Some of them never been in it. You know, it's just a shock to their system. But anyway, we'll see if we can get some winners today, or Saturday. Jordan, what's your take on the footy rules? They're changing these rules.
Yeah, I don't understand what the point is. It's every season they come out with a couple seemingly small changes, but they do end up being a bit of a pain in the butt for the players themselves. And I'm sure it's a pain in the butt for the umpires to have to police a brand new thing and try and, you know, navigate how angry people get at them for just following the rules.
Yeah, last night, you know, I love footy, and you know, I'm great to see football's back on the TV again, because it's I know they want to make the game faster, and but look, to me, you see a guy, he had the ball and he went through into the over the goal line, in the square, he went over the goal line, and they paid it as deliberate.
As a rush behind, or?
No, they just paid it as a deliberately taking the ball over. And he had a free awarded against him. There was another free there, which I reckon is ridiculous. If the player on the mark moves either way before the umpire calls play on, that's the rule, isn't it?
Yeah, they got to stand still on the mark.
Yeah, well, there was a 50-metre penalty paid last night, and Richmond's a great team, and they would have won anyway, and I do really like Richmond. But they were awarded 50 metres, and it brought them into the goal square. Now, to me, 50 metres is giving another team a goal just about. Why don't they bring it back to 25 metres and make it a bit fair? I mean, 50 metres, you can, well, it changes the game, doesn't it?
And for something like, you know, if you don't stand perfectly still on the mark, then it's a 50-metre penalty. That seems a bit harsh. But, you know, if it's something like you've deliberately ran off the mark, like forward on the mark, that's a different situation. But, you know, 50-metre penalty is meant to be, you know, just that, a penalty. And it's hard to imagine someone being penalised for just, you know, moving side to side.
Yeah, moving side to side, yeah. Who makes all these rules? Is it,
I feel like they have like a fishbowl with suggestions on pieces of paper, and Gil McLaughlin just puts his hand in and picks one out, and that's the rule for the year.
A raffle ticket.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I tell you what I do miss, though, Jordan, is Bruce McAvaney. There was an article in the press this week, and advice for a tennis fan, that's a bloke named Douglas, from it puts in my email, and regarding commentators, use the mute button to turn the sound off. You also get rid of all the grunting and screaming with every shot. That's the tennis. I turn the sound off all the sports programs I watch. He should come around my place, because I tell you what, I do the same. I just cannot bear what they're going, you know, that all of the, they're so knowledgeable. Some of them have never played football, and some of them are there, you know, doing interviews and that, and they've never picked up a football in their life or played a game of footy. So why should they have them people out there? Like, I mean, some of the questions they ask them, oh, fair dinkum. You want to throw your boot at the television. Anyway, just what about this? Have you heard anything on the Whyalla situation?
Yes, I spoke with Claire McLaughlin, the mayor of Whyalla, yesterday, and according to what at least the council have heard from GFG, things are doing fine because, of course, the steelworks have been profitable the last couple of years. And yeah. So as business as usual on their end, at least for now.
Oh, well, let's hope that everything goes well for the people up there because they're good people up there. And good morning also to the girls. You know, our girls up there around Stirling North girls, we know they're listening every morning and they're up around the northern areas and that. But now tell me this. I had a look at a photo this week in the paper and I was thoroughly disgusted. And I think nearly, well, 100% of Australians would be allowing the media to put a photo of Prince Philip in the paper in his condition. I think that's just gutter reporting. And it's to me, the people that do that, well, you know what we should do? Get their names down, the ones that put it in. And when they get old or their father or mother get old, put a photo of their mother and father in the paper. Because I just think they're just, it's gutter reporting and they're just, in my opinion, they're rubbish.
Yeah, from one perspective, it's that, you know, it's Prince Philip. He's one of the royals. He's yeah. You know, right up there. He's married to the Queen. And so there's a lot of public interest in how he's doing and what he's looking like. But also, you're putting a photo of a man who's just come out of surgery. He's just come out of hospital. And he's looking like he's just come out of hospital. You're putting that in the paper for everyone to see. So, like, if you have a bit of sympathy and you put yourself in his shoes, of course you wouldn't want that your photo like that being in the paper. So why would you publish someone else's?
No, exactly right. And those people that put it in there should be ashamed of themselves. I think most of our listeners will agree. I think all of our listeners will agree with that. And just in a comparison with that, Jordan, we've got a show at Moonee Valley on Monday, which we were celebrating Jimmy Johnson, one of our greatest jockeys' lives, and we're going to Moonee Valley on Monday. We've got some wonderful photos of him, and we want to remember him as Jimmy Johnson. And, you know, this is what I think people are going to look at that photo because they did years ago, when Bart Cummings died, Jordan, and he was one of our greatest trainers ever, they put a photo in where Bart was just like Prince Philip, was really very, very sick, and they put a photo in. And the racing industry, we were disgusted with the journalists who put that in. They were just lowlifes putting that photo in, and we wanted to remember Bart as he was. You know, that's I think very important, don't you?
Yeah, and you know, it's just a bit of respect for the person. Yeah. And like, I mean, I have my thoughts on the Royals. I don't necessarily respect them as an institution, but, you know, just respect for someone who's sick.
That's the word, I think, Jordan, that we should use, respect. Now, this is very, very quickly. They had in the paper the other day, they had about, I think it was 30 of the most influential women's sports stars in South Australia. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll give you my two, and you give me your two. This is influential sports stars. Anna Mears. She's just been made a legend in the Hall of Fame. I think Anna's a lovely girl, and I know Anna, and also a girl who I think really went, you know, she pushed the boundaries, and I think that was Sally Pearson. She just tried and tried and tried so hard. So those were the two that I would give my votes to, Anna Mears, Sally Pearson. I know you don't want to vote, but...
No, it's just you put me on the spot. I can't think of two people's names.
there's two that I think... You know, we'll go down in history, those two girls. Ramping. Labor built that white elephant on North Terrace. And now, tell me this, Jordan. Why, instead of wasting $12.5 billion when it was supposed to be $2.5 billion, why didn't they improve Modbury, the Royal Adelaide Hospital, Flinders, Ashford, Repat? And build another couple of hospitals? Now we're having problems with ramping. So this has been caused through building this. Well, it's as small as a toilet block, and it's on the busiest intersection in Adelaide. So where's the sense in that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I wasn't in those planning committees, and I don't know. It seems I really don't know enough about the Royal Adelaide Hospital to comment too much, to be honest. I just know that the ambulances are struggling to actually get people into the hospital.
Well, if they quoted $2.5 billion to build a new hospital that cost $12.5 billion, we could have built another five for the other ten billion,
couldn't we? And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of hospitals around the state could probably do with a bit more money as well.
Exactly, exactly. Now, we'll get away to the races anyway. We'll get off all the grizzling this morning, but we've got that off our chest. But we just want people out there to know that we're thinking of them, and we do think of our state, and we love our state, and we'd just like to have a comment on different things, and I think they find them interesting. Look, at Moorfield tomorrow, Jordan, in race one, I like number five, a horse called Surge. He's $5. In race two, I like number two, a horse called Designer Chef. He's $5. He's also in Melbourne tomorrow, but I think he'll run here. Race three, number one, Territory Titan. He got home for us a couple of weeks ago. He was about $7 in, but this week he's only $3. Race four, number two, Melbourne Storm, is about $3. Race five, number seven, Larkham. Disappointing last time out. I've tipped him again on Saturday. He's $4. Race six, number three, Ocean Reward, is $5. Number seven, race seven, number eight, Amber Dazzle, is $5. Race eight, number three, Master of Surprise, $5. And in the last, I went race nine, number 12, Vapid, V-A-P-I-D, is $7. Shoot over to Mornington. They're not in Melbourne tomorrow. They're at Mornington. And race one, number one, I like Micro. Race two, number three, Scarlet Dream. Race three, number one, Garvok. Race four, number eight, Evening Glory, is about $12. A couple of roughies here tomorrow. Race five, number two, Hums, is $11. Race six, number three, Cumberbatch, is $6. Race seven, number two, Chapada, my old favourite, is about $9. Race eight, number one, Ancestry, is $3. And race nine, number 14, Flanders Rain. And that's how I see him tomorrow. So I'll go through very quickly, Jordan. Mornington, race one, number one. Race two, number three. Race three, number one. Race four, number eight. Race five, number two. Race six, number three. Race seven, number two. Race eight, number one. Race nine, number 14. Over to Morfordville we go. Race one, number five. Race two, number two. Race three, number one. Race four, number two. Race five, number seven. Race six, number three. Race seven, number eight. Race eight, number three. And race nine, number 12. That's how we see them. Hope you have a good weekend this weekend, Jordan. And back a few winners there, because last week we let the team down a little bit.
Well, hopefully the weather stays pretty mild for this weekend and it gets a bit more predictable.
Well, you know, Jordan, last weekend I went out fishing on the Sunday morning, and it was just incredible. The amount of people, I went down to the boat ramp here at West Beach, and the amount of people, I would say the lineup to get your boats into the water off the ramp, and there's four ramps working, five ramps working there. And I was, without exaggeration, I would say that the lineup was over half a mile with the boats and with the cars and boats. And the car park was full. You had to park your car on the lawns. You couldn't even get a park in there. And that was at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Wow, hey. I mean, I guess it was a popular day for it.
Yep.
Well, John, I've got to get going, but thank you so much for joining me again.
Okay, Jordan. Great to talk to you.
It was John Letts, my horse racing expert, on your Classic It's Breakfast.